May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The day of the Lord. God's wrath, darkness, gloom, a heavenly army swarming the horizon. Thinking about a God who might appear less like some fuzzy grandpa up in the sky and more like an invading general, it's not exactly the kind of fodder that ends up in daily devotionals. Nevertheless, God will not countenance sin forever. So we must come to grips with the reality that the Lord who loves us will do whatever it takes to take out and root out sin from His good creation. Joel prophesies a wake-up call, an alert to his people that they have a chance to stave off a divine attack. As fearful as the prospect might be for a sinful heart to face God's extreme mercy in judgment, the old prophet holds out hope. Yet, even now, he implores, return, come back, quit going the way you've been going, and turn around. That's what repentance is. Repentance is that moment in time in which you do an about-face. You stop trudging down the wide, sludgy path to your doom, being led by malevolent forces on a leash of sin. Instead, you give a quick yank, not unlike what Pippa tries to do to me sometimes, and get clear of such demonic activity. You double back on the wide road that you once thought was presenting itself to you as an easy way out until you ended up hitting that slog of temptation's mire right before your heart's feet. But if you turn around, God's forgiveness awaits. When the people of God repent, our loving Father will certainly relent. During Lent, the Old Testament passages for this lectionary cycle remind us of God's covenants, the love-motivated, promise-based contracts that our Lord initiates with His people time and again. And this is important because Jesus cut His teeth hearing these precious stories of divine love from His mother Mary. These are the laws that he debated over in the temple when he hit bar mitzvah age. These are the prophetic utterances that promised a new day, even a new covenant, when God's people would finally obey from the heart and not just out of duty or from threat of punishment. Flipping a few pages later in, from our Old Testament passage today, we find out Joel's prophecy points to this very covenant. In chapter 2, he promises that God will pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Not just good people, not just the chosen. Everybody will be offered the taste of God's goodness, His very presence, the divine breath that summons life from lumps of clay. But still facing temptations within and or temptations without and natural inclinations to disobey God within is still a struggle. It can range from Cold War to chemical bombardment within the course of a given day. We are all sinners, even though we are all made in God's image. Sadly, the church sometimes wavers on these two truths, not keeping them in the paradoxical tension that the Bible presents them in. The pendulum swings from dirty, rotten, miserable worms who don't deserve God's love on the one extreme to I'm okay, you're okay, we all get to heaven, and no picadillo, big or small, can affect how God regards us on the other. The reality is we are wonderful creations of God who are seriously marred by sin. So we are worthy of love, but we say, feel, think, and do things that put barriers between us and that love, whether from God or from other people. So the prospect of war from heaven shouldn't surprise us. We've been rebelling against God and His love ever since Adam and Eve. And those of us who've tried in our own efforts to be good have already found what a failed battle that can be. So, in the war with sin, when we rely on ourselves, we find ourselves captive to disobedience. We either choose the path of least resistance and let ourselves be led back down the trail of spiritual slavery into death, or we struggle, only to find we can't get out of the predicament ourselves. Martin Luther asks in these circumstances, "For if man has lost his freedom and is forced to serve sin and cannot will good, what conclusion can more justly be drawn concerning him than that he sins and wills evil necessarily?" Tough words. But this is where grace comes in. Only Jesus can free us. Only the Spirit can unshackle us. Only our Father's love can embrace and carry us from the path of destruction to that easily overlooked alley that leads to life, peace, and joy. We ordinary sinners need extraordinary grace to win the battle against sin and death. We simply can't achieve it through human strength. Not even "try your best and God will do the rest" will work. As Yoda once said, "Do or do not, there is no try." And without God's actual ability, doing it in and through us, we will always end up not doing. Graciously, Christ intervenes in our helpless war against sin. We don't even need to ask. It's a free gift, ready for the taking. One person who discovered this was John Donne. He was one of the English metaphysical poets, and in his younger days, he loved the ladies. In one of his poems, "The Flea," he tried to woo some pretty young thing with the essential argument since this flea here already bit you and bit me, and our blood is already mingled together in its belly, we should go ahead and hook up. Great poem, lyrically, probably not the most tender metaphor for romantic love on this Valentine's Day. But later, mere Mr. Donne became Reverend Mr. Donne. And if you look for a conversion story for him, it'll be in vain. All you'll see is a decided shift in his writings and sermons and poems. He went from a fire with lust to on fire for Jesus. And he talks about the veritable warfare he faced to love God and defeat sin. In this particular poem, one of his holy sonnets, which for me has long been an inspiration, and I'd like to share it with you. "Batter my heart, three-person God, for you as but yet knock, breathe, shine, and seek to mend, that I may rise and stand, overthrow me, and bend your force to break, blow, burn, and make me new. I, like an usurped town to another, do labor to admit you, but oh, to no end. Reason, your viceroy in me, should me defend, but is captive and proves weak or untrue. Yet dearly I love you, and would be loved fain, but am betrothed unto your enemy. divorce me, untie or break that knot again. Take me to you, imprison me, for I accept you, enthrall me, shall never be free, nor ever chaste, except you ravish me. We need the grace of the lover of our souls to overthrow sin by whatever means necessary. This Lent, may we find that grace in the person of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.